an incredible change in Jules' fortunes. And in this structure he was effectively shielded from Prone's device, as well as out of sight of the surveillance drones. Magnusson couldn't find him here. Even so, he needed to pursue this line of questioning very carefully.
"Prone, I didn't mean to upset you. But they'd only go to other forerunner structures, surely."
"Some intended destinations we know. Some we were never allowed to know. Only that they were there for those who had supplementary information."
Anywhere else was better than here, unless a portal took him into the heart of another artificial star, of course. Jules got to his feet with slow care, making no attempt to move toward that wall.
"And you're not allowed to tell anyone what you do know?"
"No, you mustn't tell the others. I shouldn't have lost you and let you near this."
"I don't want to get hurt, and I won't tell Magnusson."
"Good."
Jules folded his arms to make it clear that he wasn't going to touch anything. He followed Prone to the surface, but still wasn't sure how he ended up back in the sunlight. Something brushed his face again, and he was instantly outside. He would memorize this place. This was his way home, somehow, and he hadn't had to search for years to find it. If it was dangerous, then he'd face that risk. Prone stopped and peered at Jules' belt, head bobbing up and down. His tentacle snaked out and touched one of the symbols Jules had etched into his belt.
"Why did you inscribe that?"
"In case I need to find my way back. Why?"
"Do you know what it means?"
Jules was intrigued, but tried not to look too interested. He had to assume he was back under surveillance now.
"No."
"That's something you must avoid,"
Prone said, turning around again.
"Never touch it."
"Why?"
"The Didact,"
Prone said.
"Hidden even from us. Hidden when the librarian made her sacrifice." Prone said nothing more during the long walk back.
If he was seeking to quash Jules' curiosity, he'd gone about it entirely the wrong way. UNSC Infinity, Sangelius. "Bandits at 12 o'clock, Wing Company," BB said. "Break, break, break." Hood ambushed Osman as soon as she got out of the bridge deck elevator. She carried on walking down the passage, but there was no way past him. He was a big man, and he could block a lot of passage. Her heart rate hiked for a few seconds. BB felt it in her earpiece. "Haven't you got a dark blue version of that?" she murmured. "No, but the phrase, 'if I cannot sink her, I will ram her,' springs to mind." It was hard to blame Hood, really. He was only doing his job, which was keeping one eye on the Sangeli, one eye on Oni, and, well, that was the problem with humans. They were one eye short, at the very least. Hood needed to keep another eye that he didn't have on the colonies, too. "Captain," Hood said, all charm. "Margaret's being very coy. Successful hunt?"
"You won't be getting any more trouble from Kig Yar, sir."
Her heart rate didn't so much as blip this time.
"Not with our own munitions, anyway. Pious Inquisitor is another matter."
"Let me be specific. Did you find and destroy that unidentified ship?" If she wanted to end the conversation, she'd have to actually brush past Hood. To her credit, she stood her ground and still managed not to actually lie, merely put him in a position where he'd have to call her a liar.
"Sir, I'd need to check up on the law regarding opening fire on pirate vessels crewed by a former enemy with which we have no official peace treaty."
"You missed your vacation, Captain."
"Have we got a treaty with the Kig Yar?"
"No."
"Best not trouble the judge advocate with that thorny issue then, sir."
Hood's smile set solid.
"We're going to have a lovely time when Margaret retires."
"Very kind of you to say so, sir."
She returned the smile and carried on to the bridge. Thanks to Port Stanley's detour, this wasn't going to be a hot wash-up. It had already cooled to lukewarm. Everyone had had a chance to get their stories straight so that events would be tidied up rather than uncovered and learned from, which BB decided was just as well. He felt relaxed enough to manifest himself and drift along behind Osman, instead of lurking in the systems and whispering in her ear. She really did need to start letting people know she'd been in the Spartan program, just so they fully understood who they were dealing with. What a lovely piece of theater it would have been to have her pull his chip out of her neural implant in a meeting. She already had all the cerebral connections in place, and it was just a matter of talking her into having the Hurrigok create a special external interface and letting him download into it. But I better make sure that I'm fit enough to wander around in her brain. What's she done with the radio? It was still in her pocket. He'd kicked the dilemma around for ages. Ages even by human standards. But if he wanted the data from the temple at Ontom, he had to interface with his fragment. And Phillips kept saying how important it was. The prof had a lot of images on his datapad, but nowhere near as much material as the fragment had recorded. Every detail counted. Halos. He's sure it's the locations and operational status of the remaining halos. If Mal and the others are willing to take a bullet for Earth, I should be too, virtually speaking. Perrin Goski was talking to Phillips when Osman walked onto the bridge. He was getting his pat on the head for being a clever boy, and he was giving her a heavily censored briefing. These were all the little things that made humans human. They had the technology to dispense with conversations, finding things out the labor-intensive way, or even lifting a finger. The likes of BB could do all that for them. They didn't need to talk to one another or eat actual food, but that was just existing, not being alive. BB understood all that in a way he'd never realized he would. Phillips stopped talking and looked expectantly at Osman. We're just discussing whether to visit the Arbiter or let the Arbiter visit Infinity, he said. Or just waving from a distance and asking him if everything's okay, because we've got to be going. It's a Sangheili psychology thing. He's won this round, Osman said, and the other keeps have decided to keep their powder dry. But how do we exit this? Well, he's seen some of the hardware we can now deploy, so it's a choice.